Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
The Two Johnnies Podcast,
The Two Johnnies Podcast,
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to Podcast 44, which we are bringing you despite this terrible weather. We're working 120 hours this week and having no Christmas shopping done yet, but we're still here, still going strong. And on this week's podcast, we are talking. It's Christmas party season, so we'll be discussing our do's and don'ts of celebrating the festive season.
He's the hardest man in leather. The beloved Noel Furlong will be here with his news.
She's got loose in Whelan's on Tuesday night. Mara's here with her mystery topic.
And we'll give our two cents on a listener. They've sent in their dilemma in relation to their son.
We're solving all the problems, Johnny, and we conclude the podcast with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just through the chair. Paddy tweeted us to say, a week or two behind on the podcast, on the topic of living at home, a boy from home was in the room feeding the geese when with the headphones on. When he'd finished, he turned round to see some tea and toast behind him on the bed that weren't there when he started.
And honestly, I read this in our WhatsApp group the other night and I was like, what the fuck was he doing feeding the goose? I had never heard of that term for masturbation.
Which is funny, you've heard all about all the rest of them, right? That one had evaded you.
I know how to do it.
So, to Paddy, his friend, and his friend's traumatized mother, we wish you all the best.
Owen Lynch was in touch. He said, well, lad, I'm a teacher below in Causeway, County Kerry. Some of my 6 years were telling me about that they snapped you in a picture of the Noel's News poster, which I have in my classroom. To tell the truth, the lads recommended the podcast to me a few months back and it has been a godsend on my commute from Limerick every day, and I'm now up to date and look forward to listening every Monday. Anyway, I'm sure it would make the lads Christmas if they got an old mention on the podcast. They're a great bunch of lads. Also, if you could possibly give a well done to Keane, who took your advice and took up the lead role of Danny in the school musical Grease. He played a blinder. Keep up the great work. Closest thing to the Unbelievables, and that's the highest compliment I could give anyone. Sound. Yeah. Fair play to Owen Lynch, Mr. Lynch, I guess, and all his class down there in Causeway, preaching the good word of the podcast.
And that young lad Keane, who played Danny Zuko in Grease. Well, I hope you're doing loads of shifting.
Yeah, I'd say he is, man. Danny Zuko's a good role to have as well.
Yeah, so the bear was on Instagram and he said, roar!
Class, man. Do you know, sometimes I think like you'd be a class comedian.
Yeah, tough crowd, okay. Didn't like that one. He said, all right, Smacks, what's the crack? I decided in August I needed a change of career. So I went back to WIT as a mature student. Decided it was going to be different this time. I was going to buckle down, get stuck into study and get good results. But here I am 2 hours before my first exam listening to the Two Johnnies podcast. Hopefully the first question is on the impact of Noel's News on mature students. Because then I'll feckin' ace it. Love the podcast, and when I get the fear of a Sunday night, I remember the podcast is out on a Monday and it gets me through.
That's last. Neve was at her gig in Whelan's and she snapped to say, hey lads, just wanted to say the gig last night was amazing. It was my first time going to see us live. And to be honest, I've never felt so culty in my life. Only at a Two Johnnies gig would you find a lad in the audience trying to plug his charger into a plug on the stage and the same guy telling all the girls he's road frontage and trying to get the shift.
Last week we discussed neighbours and Killian on Instagram said, growing up we had this mad neighbour called Ned. Above at the roundabout he jumped into the hedge for absolutely no reason at all. Mad for talking about Padre Pio as well. His feckin' house alarm used to go off all the time as well. And it wasn't during the day, it was always at 2 in the morning. Sound man all the same, used to give us a box of celebrations every Christmas. Any chance you would play a gig out here in the Netherlands? Maybe.
Yeah, Ned, I reckon he was a local priest or something. Like, why? Why else would you be talking about Padre Pio?
Jumping in and out around about us, Johnny. What are you trying to say?
Oh, hey, it's all around about. And I said, hey, Johnny, how's things? On the topic of bad neighbours, I was a terrible neighbour as a child. Got my first car at 11. I hope there's 11 o'clock in the morning. If that's 11 years of age, we're in a lot of bother.
That's leash, lad.
And from about 13 onwards, I had figured out if I cut the exhaust, they'd be louder. And as we all know, the louder the car, the cooler you are. Definitely from Leash, I'd say. And once I had a Merc, which I put the exhaust up through the bonnet out of pure boredom. Again, it's probably Leash. My neighbours to the right are right beside our house, and I used to be revving and drifting around the backyard, and there was a few of our fields between our house and the neighbours to the left, but I had a track built around the farm, so I used to annoy them too, because the track went right behind their boundary wall. Now I'm 18 and have a sensible car for the road, and they don't mind me and salute me on the road. But they don't know I'm getting a Lexus with no exhaust at the weekend just to annoy them one more time. Lots of love for the podcast here in Galway. Oh, Galway. Also, one night I had a girl over while the parents were away. I brought her for a spin and put the car through the neighbour's wall and told them the bull done it. We don't have a bull. Never had. But sure, they blow their blow-ins anyway. City slickers. What the fuck would they know about Stwa?
What do you know about Stwa?
What the fuck do they know about Stwa?
What do you know about Stwa?
One of the most insane comments we've ever got into the podcast.
That sounds like a bit of an asshole.
Yeah, he got his first car at 11. What?
And look, I'm sure he's sound, but...
Yeah, he's probably sound. He's probably got an eyebrow piercing, though. All right, Johnny.
No, like, the parents were away, had a young one over at the house.
And he drove the car through the wall.
Yeah, I said I'd bring her for a spin.
Was he riding her with no handbrake on or something?
Podcast disclaimer, that behaviour is completely illegal and we do not condone it
yes.
here.
Yes. Thank you, Mara.
Well, Michael said, story, lads, living over here in Toronto. Myself and the old Irish over here loving the old podcast, listening every week. Two things. One, annoying neighbours. My neighbour's dog keeps coming into my gaff attacking my dog. One day he came in and didn't realise that I was there. When he ran around the corner, I gave him a swift boot up the hole. He hasn't come back in since. That is the only way to deal with an annoying neighbour's dog. Boot up the hoop. Number two, he was getting eye surgery 2 weeks ago, some dose I'd say, and he asked me that I wanted to put something on to distract me, as I had to be awake while they insert artificial lenses into my eyes.
Jeez.
No! My God, that sounds awful. They had to turn it off after 5 minutes as I was laughing so hard. The surgeon was scared I would move while he was cutting into my eye. Ah, lad, will you stop? Don't worry, lads, I'll be home to Cork for Christmas, so you can send the mug there. Wouldn't want you to have to splash out and cross Atlantic postage. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work and consider doing a live show over here in Toronto. We sure will.
Connor on Snapchat said, lad, not having plugs beside the bed is a nightmare. Started bringing an extension lead with me to hotels to have a creep on Instagram before sleep.
That was your dirt of the week last week.
That was my dirt of the week, yeah. Lack of plugs. Not an extension lead. Now that's commitment to creeping there, that is. Top marks to Connor. All right, so who gets the Noel's News mug, which is kindly sponsored by the guys in hairybaby.com in County Cork, where you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merchandise, the perfect Christmas present.
That's right. I'm leaning towards the man feeding the geese. I enjoyed that now. Who are you thinking?
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah? Like that?
Cool. All right. It's on its way out to ye. And they just messaged me to say if you're ordering Two Johnny's merchandise, Wednesday is the last day they can guarantee you'll have it before Christmas.
Okay, so there you go. Keep that in mind when you're ordering the gear off hairybaby.com.
Twojohnnies.ie, lad.
Yeah, twojohnnies.ie. You got to keep it before Wednesday.
Yeah, after that, you're taking a chance.
Ordering that spilt milk.
Yeah.
And you don't want spilt milk at Christmas. No. Weekly roundup. What's been going on in the Two Johnnies land this week? What a week.
Oh, nothing. We just played a gig.
Yeah, we done a little gig. Johnny, you want to tell them about that?
Lads, talk about a life-changing moment. We did a gig, it was in Whelan's in Dublin, you might have heard us going on about it. It sold out in a day, so all the people there were hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And we came out, six of us, six piece band. We put the band in Care GAA jerseys. It was funny, like, just rang the club secretary. Well, Eddie, do you mind if me and Smacks borrow a few jerseys for a day there? And he's like, oh, yeah, no bother there, whatever, yeah. We're dropping back there during the week. Probably thought we were going filming an old sketch or something.
I actually didn't drop.
You haven't dropped them back?
No.
Lad, they probably stink.
I know, I put them in the wash. They were rancid, lad. I had them in one of them, you know, the Two Johnny's Bag for Life.
Yeah.
The new merch yoke. I had them in one of them. And I swear to God, the Bag for Life, I'm going to have to throw that out. It's not a Bag for Life when four lads from Cork are getting hot and sweaty in your jerseys. But the band were brilliant. I want to thank the band as well.
Yeah, I have the set list here on the wall. We did 20s. 29 songs.
That's fair going, lad.
We sang in Whelan's 29 songs.
Hey, the Rolling Stones wouldn't do that.
Nah, they'd be dead, lad.
It's unreal, though. Felt like an absolute rock star. Really enjoyed it. The crowd were pumped as well. And, like, a massive credit to a couple who shifted for the entirety of Junior B All-Star.
Yeah. Now, I probably shouldn't have pointed them out.
And stopped the song.
And got the lights on them and just the whole crowd going like, shift, 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 shift.
What else were we going to do? What else were we going to do? But that was an unbelievable gig. And we had a special guest.
Our special guest. You know, we always have special guests at our live events. This time it was Saw Doctors legend Leo Morn.
Oh my God. Some bus.
He came in and we did not run through the songs before we started with the band. And we went through whatever, Tommy K and the Hair App and all. And then we were like, Leo, we want to do N17 as well. Oh yeah, sure, that'll be grand. You know what I mean? Save your energy, lads. Don't rehearse. We were like, what?
Yeah. Save your energy. Now, to be fair, I was nearly wrecked after the rehearsal. I was like, wow, 27 songs of this. But no, really enjoyable. Class, we had a balloon drop and a snow machine.
We had two snow machines.
Two snow machines, yeah. We blew the budget.
Like. We blew the
We earned around 17 euros each from the gig.
During Band-Aid, Feed the World, I got to crowd surf. And the snow machine was going as well. Oh, greatest moment of my life.
Magical times.
I wanted a crowd surf earlier, but the front two rows were all young ones. And I was like, not being sexist here, but I'm going to mulch you. They were all like holding G&Ts. And I was like, I want to dive in. Then we spotted our barber, Keelan.
Yeah.
He came up the front with Jamzy and a few of the carabies. I was like, that's good. Grand. In I go. Stood in Keelan's head. Off we went. Like.
Good crack. It was mad to look at. And it was mad to be a part of. And a massive thank you as well to everybody who came to the gig. Yeah. A life-changing job. Ed Sheeran played there. All the greats. Now the two Johnnies have. I was walking down the stairs and there's this big massive poster of Ed Sheeran like just before you go on stage. I was like, here we go. Right at home. All the greats.
That'll be me.
It was a brilliant night. Yeah, and Wednesday night then, we went for a nice dinner with our friend Paul Collins. We had a nice dinner with Paul during the day.
And then we went straight home.
And then, yeah, we were tucked in bed nice and early in Dublin. And no, it was a crazy week. We actually went to Coppers on Wednesday night and met the
Mulnacht team,
yeah.
The boys who won the Leinster senior football title. They were all out, all in their club gear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some legends, but yeah.
Yeah, well, no, that's because they were on the Late Late Show that night because we pre-recorded Wednesday night. So yeah, I told them to come up wearing their
club gear.
Yeah.
Fair play to you, Maureen.
Oh, Maureen, bye. We were on Spin South West there during the week. We were on Red FM during the week. We were on the promo trail.
We were on 98 FM and the radio, lad.
Yeah, we were absolutely everywhere during the week. So it was a really busy week. Really enjoyable week, though.
Yeah, I don't know what people were expecting for the Christmas party.
Yeah. The Whelan's gig.
Yeah. I don't know what people were expecting, but our shows are normally comedy shows. Mm. We've got these songs, you know. We want to play them.
We want to play them, yeah, big style.
But it was mad for me because I've been playing in cover bands since I was 13. Mm. And to finally get to play a big gig playing our original songs.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, you know, like we kind of just discussed it during the weekend that when people play in cover bands and they play in pubs and, you know, you're singing Wonderwall and people are singing it with you. Like, you feel like a rock star. And it's a whole different kettle of fish when you're singing your own songs and people are singing them back to you. That's fucking mental.
Like, I did that for years, playing weddings and doing nightclubs and all. And everybody's loving you and all. But I used to remind myself, like, not to confuse that with success. Because that's not what I really wanted to do in life. And had I never met Smacks, I probably never would have got there. So we got to do it.
I'm not going to, you know what I mean.
What did Paul Collins say, Johnny?
Paul Collins said, Johnny, two of the best things you ever did in your life, he said to Johnny B, was cut the ponytail and get that lad.
Don't know which is more important. But.
Yeah, both equally important. But it was crazy because I just said to Johnny just before we went on the stage in Whelan's, there's a long walk from the dressing room, you go down the corridor out onto the stage. And like the first video we ever done was like the premiere rap in 2016. It was like our first ever song. And in the music video, like, we faked this thing that we were playing in a big arena. And that, you know, we're walking through the doors and all this. And, like, we faked the whole thing. And
it was overdubbed like, with this announcer, like.
And then we're like, wow, now we're actually doing it for real. So, yeah, the start of it. Tour selling really well as well. There's...
Kilkenny is sold out.
Yes.
Would you believe it? That was the first day on our tour to sell out.
Kilkenny, yeah.
I'm so glad that I've never said anything bad about Kilkenny.
Yeah. Two tip lads going to Kilkenny and sold out. Is there...
Nace is sold out as well.
So, yeah, pretty happy.
People of Nace and Kilkenny, two words for you, lad.
Thank you.
And spilt milk. So.
But yeah, brilliant. There's still tickets left for the other day. It's around the 2johnnies.ie. Get your tickets, lads. The perfect Christmas present. We can't emphasize it enough.
Yeah. You know, if somebody gets me like a new iPhone and a bar of solid gold, I'd be like, that's shit. I specifically asked for 2johnnies tickets.
Brilliant stuff. All right, topic number one. It's silly season and it's fast approaching, lads. People are going on their office Christmas parties. They're going on the 12 pubs, meeting friends, going on nights out. We're here to give you an extensive guide on the do's and don'ts. And we'll just chat all things festive pints. Johnny B.
Just on office parties, Johnny.
Yes.
I've never had them. I never worked for a company who threw an office party.
Mm-hmm.
But you've had several.
Yeah.
Would you prefer the office party or prefer extra money in your paycheck that they would have spent on the office party?
I think the office parties are a good idea. For morale, first of all. It's very good. People you've been working with all year, you get to go out and see them. It's also great in that you see some of your work colleagues done up. I worked in Superfelly for 4 years. You know, the girl's wearing a fleece packing milk all day. It's incredible to see her out then done up and stuff like that. You know, it's great for everyone anyway. I think people, if you work together, you should be socializing in social circles with them anyway.
Oh!
To a certain degree, I always spend time with the people I worked with. I genuinely like them. Most of them. So, like, why not at the Christmas party? And it's great, like, you see, like, the blood's up at Christmas. Christmas party, anything's possible, you know? That work colleague you fancied for 15 years clearly doesn't like you. It's Christmas, there's hope.
You've been watching a lot of Love Actually.
Yeah, I've been vulnerable all week now, let's be honest about that.
So, what, like, trying to get the shift at the office party?
Yeah, trying to get the shift in the office party is a big thing. But yeah, the money and the paycheck, sorry to bring it back to that. Nah, give me the party. The money is going to be spent on drink anyway. So let's just have the Christmas party. Let's have a steak, a few free bottles of red wine, and let's get loose. That's my opinion. Mara, what do you think about the
Christmas party?
Yeah, what's your RT Christmas party like?
Okay, so
you get langers and punch tubs.
So previous places I've worked, Northern Sound Radio in Cavan Monaghan, Farmers Journal and News Talk, their Christmas parties are always much better than any of the RT Christmas parties I've been so far. So.
She has to say that because so that RT aren't seen to be wasting taxpayers' money.
Yeah, it's weird license fee. We don't spend really anything worthwhile. Like Farmers Journal Christmas party. Oh my god! Like we went to the Gibson Hotel, back of the Tree Arena, had music. It was class. Full dinner, like, and then my first Christmas party with Orty, we went to some pub in Ranelagh and got food that I think was all cooked in the same deep fat fryer, and it was just like. I was like,
cocktail sausage job, like.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. I was like, is it too late to go back to the Farmers Journal?
So the RT Christmas party is not wild. It's pretty tame.
No. Yeah. You know, it's grand. It's lovely. Like, the people I work with are lovely and we've great crack all the time. But, like, yeah, we're...
Organise your own one?
Yeah.
All right. Jack,
yeah. Well, no, there's somebody on the team who organises it.
Okay.
And we just...
Social secretary kind of job.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, a few of our... top tips.
Oh yeah, some of our do's and don'ts.
We're kind of saying behave yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I would say from talking to people that we know who actually work for proper companies and not for each other like me and Johnny do. We can do anything we want at our Christmas party. Like, we don't have to answer to anyone but our souls.
And the police are after you about that thing.
Yeah, I'll must tie that up during the week
with the dog. So, yeah.
I wasn't to know.
I want people to give their Christmas party a right go.
Yeah.
To get up and dance. And, you know, if there's karaoke, get up and sing.
Yeah.
Before your langers.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to end up like my buddy Niall there that I worked with in Supervalue. You know, he had the owner who's, I'd say she's 60 odd anyway, and a woman, you know, having her in a headlock singing, I Predict a Riot. At 1:30 in the morning is probably never a good idea. Let's get that straight. So, do sing on the karaoke machine. Don't manhandle your managers.
Do it about 10:30.
Do it around 10:30, like maybe a couple of verses of Crystal Chandelier or something. Maybe set the mood. I would say as well, don't shift in public. Again, my friend Niall, super you know, shifting a bird at the Christmas party, and like, you know, they were both quiet people. And on the Monday then, it was brilliant when the assistant manager, Finbar, just kept calling Niall and the woman to the checkouts.
At the same time.
At the same time. So it's like, Niall and to the checkouts, please. And everyone be like, the canteen's an awkward place to be on the Monday morning. But
yeah, but if you've got, you know, if there's that other person in the office, you're kind of giving each other the eye a little bit. Christmas is an emotional time.
Yes.
It could come to the boil at the office Christmas party. A few drinks, you're both looking your best.
But see, I'm of the firm belief that you should never shift anybody that you work with.
Oh, don't screw the crew.
Yeah. Nah.
What if it's love?
Yeah, how do you know?
Don't dip your nib in the office ink.
I don't. Oh.
Oh, that's harsh.
That is harsh now, Maureen. I'm going to have to fight you on that one now. You never know.
What's this? There's probably like a guy working across from you who's mad in love with you, Maura.
It's probably like that scene in Love Actually where it's like, you know, how long has Andrew been working here? And they're like, 15 years, 14 days, 277 hours. You know what I mean? It could be, Maura.
Well, if he really likes me, he can go get a job somewhere else.
There we go. Oh. So, Ryan Tuberty, if you're listening.
Off to TV Tree, lad. Yeah.
I think that's why Pat Kenny left, wasn't it?
Oh, we're on fucking fire this week on the podcast.
But I want to know, there apparently is a lot of hookups at office Christmas parties. People comes to the boil.
Yep.
But I'd like to know the conversion rate to relationships.
Whoa.
I would imagine it's pretty low.
Yeah, I'd say there's just a good bit of, you know.
See, my theory about Christmas parties is that because the drink is generally free at them, you drink the wages that you feel you should have earned.
Yeah.
So therefore, your judgment is completely gone out the window.
100%.
There you're shifting Tim from the stockroom and, you know.
I tried to drink 10 grand one night. Super value, you know. Not luxurious wages, lads. Champagne lifestyle. Fucking TK lemonade wages. But
don't get too drunk.
Don't get too drunk. Don't punch your boss.
Yeah.
I've been on a stag where a fella's punched his boss. Awkward.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are my friends. Those people are my friends. No, but genuinely.
Get a little bit drunk. Show another side of yourself a little bit, like. Loosen up.
But remember, these guys do pay your wages. And you've got to probably work there for another while anyway. So I would behave to a certain degree. I mean, from the Christmas parties I've been on ones where we've went away for weekends and that kind of stuff. And I went up to Athlone when I used to work in the clothes shop.
Gosh, are you going to say like...
No, I wasn't in like Barcelona or anything. No, Athlone, the Barcelona of the Midlands. Yeah, we went away for a weekend dinner and drinks there the night. Thought that was grand. But you'd be behaving yourself in that one. Like.
Yeah. If you have to behave yourself too much, you feel like, I don't want to go then.
Yeah, a lot of places I work now, the people who've been there years and years, the older members, kind of just gone, no, I'm not going to Christmas party. Stupid. Mm. You know, they've been there, like, whereas I was eager. I was like, oh, Christmas party. I was like, well, I'm not getting a bonus this year. And it's amazing. They give you the menu, then you're like, yeah, whatever, don't even bother with the menu. Give me the two most expensive things on the oak. And they're like, but you don't like pate. I'm like, I do now. It's €17 for a starter. Get it out here. That's what I deserve. Smeared on the bottom of your shoe then. 12 pubs.
This is our next thing.
Mm.
12 pubs Christmas are fast approaching. Are they a good idea?
Are they a good idea?
They're kind of for people who are about 19, 20, 21, are they?
Have you done 12 pubs?
Yeah, I did it twice, I'd say.
Hmm. You weren't 19, 20, 21?
It's a good few years ago now. I was. maybe 22 or 3, I don't know. Myself and Simo did it there a while ago, but the thing about it, Care didn't have 12 pubs. Care had 10 pubs. So you did the Gatehouse twice and you drank a can in Londis.
Yeah.
So, well, we had a good man. Eddie was the ringleader.
Yeah.
He would blow the whistle.
Mm-hmm. A wild human.
Keep everybody going. They had strict rules. Mm. You know, going from pub A to pub B, you had to swap shoes with somebody else. Then the next one, you had to hop on one leg.
Yeah, then you had the conga line.
No, obviously, conga line is fine. That's
that's par for the course anyway on a Saturday night in Care.
So he'd have the whistle. He'd say, we've been here 20, 25 minutes, whatever. Mm. Blow the whistle, everybody get going. Mm-hmm. But the one in Care, by the time of the end of it, there was 60? 50-60 people on the 12 pubs.
From a landlord's perspective, it's probably not what you want. I mean, one particular guy in care was like, get down the back into the corner. You know, not to be disturbing other people, obviously, which is fair enough, because you've got 60 lads who go in there and they've probably, that's probably the only time of the year they go in there. So it's crazy. It's chaos. There's always somebody on it just taking the rules too serious. Like, you're like, you know, oh, you're drinking with your right hand. You have to down a shot. You're like, fuck off, Patrick, will you? I'm half lit here. If I have a shot, I'm going to puke in your face.
Yeah, it does expose a lot of people who are like, oh, I could drink like a million pints. Yeah. See him at the end of the 12 pubs.
Yeah.
They're on their arse.
Yeah, that is true.
I've done the maths on the 12 pubs, guys. I know how many drinks it is.
Johnny knows himself. His personal experience. I've never done them because I've always been working in retail. So I've never got a chance in the build up to do the 12 pubs you were on Sundays and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Have you any itch to go back
into? Yeah, I do in Dublin.
Would you?
Yeah, I do in Dublin, yeah.
You'd want a right crew with you, though.
Ah, yeah, you'd have some crack, though. The pubs are closed, like, you know, pubs are more lively than stuff as well, like, and, you know, more laid out for that madness.
Yeah, but if there's a bunch of you, it doesn't matter, you bring your own liveliness.
That's true. So if anybody would like to bring me on the 12 pubs up in Dublin, let us know.
But by the end of it, you don't get into places.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't be doing it in Galway, you know.
You're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be in a cover band years ago, and we were playing this place in Cork, and I was like, wow, this is really good, the place is hopping. About six songs in, everybody left. I only realised afterwards they were on the 12 pubs. I was like, wow, they really don't like that Kings of Leon song we just played.
I think the big thing with chatting about nights out and stuff for Christmas and meeting old friends and everything that goes with Christmas is your expectations versus your reality. You know, the expectations of Christmas, you're like, magical time, you know, never know, might find a bit of love this Christmas, it'll all be great, happy times, the whole lot. Realistically, it's nothing like that. Christmas is always oversold and then under-delivered, I find, anyway. I can't recall telling you, like, God, that was a great Christmas.
What? You mean it's never lived up to the hype?
No, like, you bill it as something that's going to be amazing, like Stephen's Day.
Yeah?
You're like, wow, Stephen's Day is going to be the best night out of the year. It's going to be unreal. It's not, like, it's going to be fucking packed. Some sweaty fuckers in front of you and you're just stuck up against his armpit while he's telling you how much he earned that year. Like, it's not going to be as good as you think it is. Maybe I'm just being sinister, but that's how I feel on it. Like, what do you think? Like, you know yourself. Like,
well, I can't believe you're saying this. Like, you've gone out enough. You surely like it.
Yeah, but sure, Johnny, you know what I mean? You have to try things a lot of times. It's like Guinness. You have to keep trying until you get a taste for it. So,
going out in your hometown over Christmas can be funny. You start meeting people you haven't seen all year, people who've been away. And then after a while, I'm like, oh my God, I had this conversation with you last year.
This is
being your bonnet more, is it kind of?
Well, everybody, me and my friends, we have a tradition. We go to Carrickmacross into Nalo's pub every since Stephen's night. And I kind of avoided it the last couple of years because you just end up doing the, what are you working at now? Oh, yeah. Oh, such and such got engaged. Yeah, seen it on Facebook. And it's the most boring night out. And it's plus, you don't want to go to the nightclub now because you're just that little bit older and wiser. And it's like, oh, you have to be, yeah. I don't know. I would sooner go day drinking on St. Stephen's Day.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
We like to do both.
But like, it's brilliant. Like, during the day you're like, ah, oh, this is great crack. And then at night you're like, ah, oh, it's a bit too busy. And then like, after another couple of drinks, you're like, yeah, you're that person pushing into everyone. Like, and then you wake up and go, jeez, it wasn't that packed last night. And you're like, you're joking me, lad. You spilled around €2 million worth of drink. I think that's obvious. But it is that whole Love Actually syndrome that comes at Christmas. It's like magic in the air and office drinks and all that. But it's not.
It's just a Tuesday with a large chicken.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Magic in the air. It's, you know, smell of a fucking snack box or something like that in the air and some fella trying to punch the jaw off you. That's Christmas.
Christmas is a bit different, lad.
It's just people sleeping.
No, sleep is class. The pubs, from now on, are way busier than any other time of year.
True.
And people are back around.
Yeah, like, I actually, like, you know, I know you say, like, you're talking to your friends, talking to the same show. I like talking to my old school friends, you know, like, because I go back to Ross Gray, and, like, I'd say I haven't been out there since last Christmas, probably. And it's good, you know, you go back and chat to people, And it's good old crack. And you forget you forget then the fun that you had in school. Like, obviously there's people where you're like, oh well, just I haven't talked to you since school. Yeah, that's because I fucking didn't like you in school and I don't like you now. But a lot of people I love having a chat with and catching.
Oh, did I block you on all social media? Did I? Shit. Oh my god, sorry.
I must have hit that button by accident.
On every device. Yeah. It's weird though. I don't know what it's going to be like for us going out in care now, Johnny, anymore. I haven't been out in care this year.
Whoa. I have.
But I don't know what. I wonder what people look at us differently or what. I don't know.
Probably call us pricks, I'd say.
Probably, yeah. Especially after me saying that now.
Yeah, yeah. Good man. You've highlighted the fact. Now we will not be going out in our hometown over Christmas. Ross Gray, I'm coming back.
I know. We're doing Stephen's Day in care, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. We have a tradition, Stephen's Day, that we go down with the local GA club and play an over 25s against under 25s. Okay. Yeah, but for the last year or two, we've been playing with the over 25s and it's, you know, it's...
We won.
Yeah, I know.
We won.
Still doesn't mask the fact we're getting old. We're one of the older ones down there. But hey, look, anybody going out over Christmas, the main thing is stay safe anyway. Mind yourselves. Jesus, you hear some horror stories over Christmas. Don't.
Most of them involving you.
Yeah, yeah. That's just personal experience.
Can I just say as well, just advice on 12 pubs going out over Christmas, make sure you have a safe way home. Like,
yes.
Like, you know, don't be going walking the roads or taking lifts from strangers.
Just ring your mother like I do. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you bring us home. Where? I'm at a house party. Whereabouts? Moneygall. Pick us up there. John, it's 5:30 in the morning. Yeah, sure. I'm not going to walk home. So yeah, stay safe this Christmas. Enjoy your nights out, lads.
Yeah, go on. It's a good time of year. Don't be getting negative, Nola. Don't be giving me negative waves.
Yeah, look, let's get the Christmas vibe back on. Let's turn on a bit Shaking Stevens there and bust open a can of Guinness and murder a Christmas pudding.
We're going to stop recording right now and start drinking.
Yeah, yeah, it's party time. Okay, stay safe. All right, he came out of womb and headbutted the midwife. He's been hard since the day he was born and he wowed Whelan's the other night with a rendition of his own song. So lads, it's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
We'll have to get a new mic after that, Noel, I'd say.
How are you doing for that?
Well, how are you?
I think I got a bit of a dose after Whelan's that night.
What? Jesus, off who?
I caught TB off a nurse from Galway.
Did you enjoy Whelan's the other night, Noel?
I was good.
You done your own song?
I did.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough driving going on. I met the young lad at the mornings from the Saw Doctors.
Yeah, Leo.
Yeah, in fairness now, he came on, he done a fair bit of driving.
Yeah, he's a good man for the driving.
Kind of saved the night.
And are you hoping to release that song?
I am.
You're in talk with a couple of record labels, are you?
I am myself and Sony.
Sony.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like their other song, Sony Don't Go Away. I'm here all alone.
Brilliant. Okay, so you got some news for us.
Yes, sir. Young bai. Now, top story. Miss America is going around insulting everyone. Ooh. Like every other American, you might say. So, Miss Universe is the competition she's at. And I think it's typical of the fucking Yanks. Miss World wouldn't be enough. I'm going to try to take over Miss Universe. Okay? Miss US of A, Sarah Rose Summers. Sounds like a type of fertilizer. Something you'd put her maybe in amongst the geraniums, give them a bit of a boost. So she is at the competition and it's in Bangkok. It's a great town. By all accounts. So she was on the social media during the week and she was talking about a contestant called Hai Nan Ni, who is Miss Vietnam. And about her, she said, she's so cute and pretends to know so much English. And then you ask her a question after a whole conversation and she just nods and smiles and don't understand you. That's what she said. Just a small observation from Miss USA. if you've been doing all the talking and she's only smiling, it's not a conversation. That's you spouting shite. Like when my Uncle Fergal shouts at Pat Kenny on the telly. That's not a conversation. That's Uncle Ferg going senile. I swear to God, the kids had him on the video phone. Had him on Skype the other day, right? And he said, put on Pat Kenny, I want a word with him. He couldn't tell the difference. He wouldn't hang up until one of the girls pretended to be Miriam McCallaghan. There, he went at himself. What? He's a big fan of Miriam. He started pulling at himself.
Oh, jeez.
He unbuttoned the slacks and slapped it out and started tearing at himself. I swear to God, after 20 minutes, we got thrown out of the library. So, Miss Vietnam, some people said Miss USA was looking down on Miss Vietnam because she's taller than her. Or because Vietnam wouldn't be that well developed in the area. You know what I mean? Just kind of looking down on her. And, well, you know, a place can be scarred after traumatic events. Like when you think, Americans think of Vietnam, they're probably thinking about the war.
Mm.
Do you know, like when you think of Rat Downey, you just think of Derek Mooney. And the incident with the squirrel. A line was crossed. And by Derek, of all people. That's when he had the radio show, Mooney Goes Wild. He wasn't joking. So she added, she was talking then about Miss Cambodia. She said, Miss Cambodia is here and she don't speak any English and no one else here speaks Cambodian. And she said, can you imagine? Miss Australia was just saying, wouldn't it be so isolating and confusing? Poor Cambodia. Poor Cambodia is right. You weren't saying that when you were fucking dropping napalm on. But that's the Vietnam War. That's 10 or 12 years ago now. Anyway, it's time to move on. So, Miss America apologised. She didn't mean to offend anyone. She actually meant to pay them a compliment, saying how courageous they were going off to a competition where nobody knows them, nobody speaks the language, the whole lot. I said it's like when the Carrick and Shure lads go for county minor trials. They're like something from Mr. Universe. All right, those guys. So it's kind of a pointless story for once. I know most of my stories now would be fairly unmissable. But it created a big hoo-ha online. And I must tell you about our own lovely girls competition another day.
Oh, God.
Not to be missed. So my second gripe of the week. The man with two wives. Not Daniel O'Donnell. One of them is his mother. That's a common mistake people make. It's actually Tom Jr. Macau in Kenya. Not to be confused with his father, Tom Sr. Macau, who had no children at all. Tom is a businessman from County Kajiado, who recently won the Kenyan All-Ireland. Congratulations to them. Next year they'll be moved into the Christy Ring Cup. He has married two women, this lad, at the same ceremony. That's a fact.
Wow.
In Kenya. Talk about saving money, huh? I wonder did he make him share dinner as well, huh? Although, I'd say Kenyan dinner wouldn't be much crack anyway.
No.
No, very little. About as much use as the Cuban camogie team now, I'd say. But Tom did say to me that he didn't have the ceremony in a church. People were saying, can't be doing that. He said it was a traditional ceremony. Like myself, when we got married, we had a very traditional ceremony. Myself and Carmel. We had it in a church, all right. Because Carmel's mother was very religious. Her being a nun.
Oh jeez.
Her father less so. Then the whole wedding party went back to Shamrock Lounge. Beautiful day, 3-course meal, the works. For starters, we had Smittix. Ladies had a glass of port. Main course, of course, consisted of cocktail sausages with ketchup. I didn't have any ketchup. I was minding myself for the day that was in it. And for dessert, the mother iced a tart. Now, we couldn't get into figurines, so we just wrote, Happy Wedding, Noel and Carmel.
Happy Wedding?
Yeah, almost like a fairy tale.
Oh, happy wedding.
Oh, this is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Beautiful. But one tart between the 48 of us. I had to tap Huey for a few more cocktail sausages. So, but yes, it was really, really lovely day from start to finish. And then Carmel had to go about 5 to milk the cows. But fuck it, after that, we had a right night. So I can see why this Kenyan man have two wives. He must have a wicked big farm to run. And he said he chose to marry two wives because both of them loved him. And he didn't want to offend either of them. He must have two Mickeys. Or somebody's getting offended. They don't know. If a woman ain't getting satisfied at home, she might go to town.
She might, yeah.
She might go to town. Like, many years ago, I was away working for 6 months. I was on tour with the Bay City Rollers. That's one for the book now. Do you remember the Bay City Rollers?
Yeah.
They had a big hit with Bye Bye Baby. And another one that I actually co-wrote called Shang-a-Lang. Written about Pádraig Lang from Kilkenny.
Shang-a-Lang.
Well, Lang had a fair shang on him, I'll tell you that. Went to number 2 in the UK charts. I was sickened, because if it had gone number 1, that would have been my 5th number 1 that year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I'll get back to that, another story. But Carmel, at home on her own, I mean, she had a good life, you know, she loved milking the cows, the pigs and the kids and the whole lot, but she was lonely. And one night she went into town to disco. Didn't she end up going off at Marty Whedon? Marty was in town with his old radio show. Before he was on, you know, Lyric and all that stuff he does now, he had a radio show back in the day called Marty Whelan's Love Hour. And he used to just go on and describe in intense detail all the women he'd made love. All the women he made love to that week. But that was RTE in the 70s. It was a different time. It was a different time. No, but I always enjoyed the show. Carmel, just if there's anyone else. I'm sure get some of your listeners to text in about the Marty Whelan Love Hour. Oh. Very popular show, but that was the 70s, you know. See, if there's anyone else now, I'd have murdered him. But like, I have wicked respect for Marty Whelan ever since he brokered the peace deal with the Indians. For 8 months, he lived as a Comanche brave. That's a fact. Survived only on his cunning. That's a fact.
Oh, man.
But look, as my father always said to me, a boot up the hole is better than a stone in your shoe. And Carmel never strayed again. But you don't go down to town for mince when you've steak at home, do you?
Oh, man, no.
So anyway, this lad in Kenya, he have a message. He wants to say to the people of the world, this is a message I'm sending to the modern cheating husbands who pretend to love one woman and they have others on the side. I'm being sincere to my two wives and I will not have any other reason to marry any other women. I believe the two of them will satisfy me. I hope they do.
Fucking hell.
Isn't that mad?
That's crazy.
Now, that's a story hot off the press from Kenya.
You always amaze me, Noel.
That's because I'm a real man. Just a quick word then locally. I just want to let you know that the winter sale is now on in Pat Hassett's menswear. Main Street in the village.
Is this another ad?
Yeah.
Are you getting paid for this?
Yeah. I made a nice few pound off Frankie Fahey, Dad. You remember a couple of episodes ago, I done Frankie Fahey's funeral home. Done an advertisement for him. Just Frankie Fahey ever since. Oh, there's lads dying all over. There's lads dying now that never died before. There's lads dying, coming back and dying again. Enjoying it so much. So I'm in big demand for a space to advertise on Noel's News. Oh, yeah. So if you'd like to advertise on Noel's News, you can just give me a ring. Or give Johnny Snacks a ring and he'll set you up.
You can email the two Johnnies at gmail.com.
Well, I won't be, but just to let you know that he has suit jackets and top coats now available in all sizes, from small child to big man. Are you getting drowned every time you leave the house? Why not get a jacket from Pat Hassett's menswear? Casual wear for boys. Jumpers, jeans, and cardigans. I thought only priests wore cardigans. No, priests and convicts. The people wear cardigans.
Their style now, no.
Jeez, I wouldn't know. Are you up in court? We have shirts to suit all types of offences.
Oh my God.
Have you been caught 14 times over the legal limit drink driving? Well, with a new diesel shirt, you'll be back clipping ditches in no time. Do you plan on being a country and western star? Why not pop in and get several check shirts in slightly different colours? Farmers, remember, the bigger the belt buckle, the bigger the farm. Ladies know these things. Don't get left behind at the dance hall this Christmas. Get yourself a new pair of flaking shoes from Pat Hassett's menswear. The flaking shoe. The flaking shoe. New shop now open in Anacarty. Call in to our new store and meet the manager, Pat Fox. Our new store manager in Anacarty, Pat Fox. So that's Pat Hassett's menswear. She has stores here in the village, the new one in Anacarty. He has stores in Glanwort, Ballacolla, Drangan, and our head offices in Shinrone. Service with a smile. And a price tag. He's fucking wicked dear.
Is it expensive?
Oh, jeez, he's wicked dear to her. I won't be saying that in the ad now, but fucking awful price tag, man. You couldn't shop there.
Noel, I haven't laughed that much in a long time.
That's because you have a sheltered life.
Brilliant stuff. You back next week?
God willing, yeah. The roads are treacherous.
You all set for Christmas?
Well, I haven't started Christmas shopping yet.
I thought you would have got caramel something when you were in Dublin.
Last year I got her a calf.
Okay.
I got a good price when I sold it then.
Brilliant stuff.
I must thank her for minding it all year.
We'll chat to you next week.
And good luck.
She said we're not allowed to talk on the podcast about what she got up to in Whelan's on Tuesday night, or else she'll break out her MMA skills. With that in mind, Maura, what's your mystery topic this week?
Sorry there about that.
About what you did in Whelan's or the cop?
I'm not sorry about what I did in Whelan's.
danced hard.
Yes, of course.
Okay, lads, this week's mystery topic is... because it's the season of Christmas, it's also the season of lads getting engaged. Now, I know the both of ye won't be getting down on one knee this Christmas. Smacks, you have the dodgy knee. Johnny B, your jeans are too tight. You might possibly get engaged to each other, because I know Johnny B would love your tax credits. And the
yeah. Wow, can that work?
Yeah, lads actually have gotten engaged to each other, or got married to...
To our accountant, Tommy, if you're listening, we are now engaged.
Yes. So, big life event, getting engaged. So, I surveyed some friends for the do's and don'ts of getting engaged. Now, I think we might start off with the male perspective, because okay. The men are getting it wrong, according to
the
women.
I wouldn't be great in the female perspective anyway, no, to be honest.
Yeah. So, my mate, Kevin, said, don't go mental with the spending on the ring. 3 months' wages is bollocks. It's seriously not about the amount you spend on the ring. You can get nice rings for hundreds rather than thousands. Don't tell anyone else. They'll only confuse things, and she might say no. Don't overthink it. Don't worry about it being a big occasion. Find out what type of metal she likes. Gold, silver, platinum.
Classic rock, death metal.
And find out her ring size to save it being resized. Save more money.
Which ring?
You know.
Hey, sure, if you don't know by getting married, you're not the one.
And he also said, don't ask the father-in-law. Jared said, Jared, wow. No. This was the three men I surveyed all said, don't ask the father-in-law. Jared said, make it intimate, do it in a restaurant so you get a free dinner. I wouldn't buy the ring beforehand. I think it's nice to go to the jewelers together. Champagne dinner and then ring shopping. Don't tell her family. And now, when I questioned Jared on this, he said, there's a specific reason. I know a lad, all her family know that he proposed when they were 6 months pregnant. The baby is due soon and she hasn't given an answer yet.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so it's bad. So, yeah. So, and one other friend said, Shane said, it's very cliche proposing at Christmas, but I'd say be original. Don't make a big deal of it. Do something intimate as a couple together. Now, the women, which I have about six pages on.
Can we get in the ring yet or what?
Yeah, go.
Just not buying the ring is a funny one. So do you propose, you get down on one knee with an empty box? Or
no,
like?
Fellas buy dummy rings.
Yeah.
So you get a... Sorry. Fellas buy dummy rings. So you can get a ring for like 70 quid.
Yeah, from the Argos catalogue.
Yeah, Argos job. Dummy one.
Yeah.
Pop it out. Here, will you marry me? Yeah, I will. Right, let's get a proper ring.
All right, and what if she didn't know and she was like, oh my god, the ring is so nice, you obviously bought me a shit ring, I maybe don't want to marry you.
You'd probably be like, oh my god, here's the ring, this is your actual ring. 70 euro.
Okay.
If she done that, would you be marrying her anyway?
Okay, maybe not. Doing it in a restaurant to get a free meal?
I'd keep it private.
Hard to say no to free dinner, though.
You're thinking, free chocolate mousse for dessert. The big thing I picked up from the points there, Mara, was not asking the father. Yeah. Isn't that tradition?
All the girls said, you have to ask the father.
Yeah.
And all the lads said, don't.
Yeah, yeah. Now, my brother-in-law asked my dad, and the poor lad is still traumatised about it, because my dad was happened to be buttering his toast at the time, and like,
well, we'll be asking a man with a blade in his hand,
and like he dropped the knife on the floor, like we have a tile floor, and it was clattered, and just it was just like a moment where it was like, oh no.
What if they said no? You'd probably have to go ahead and do it anyway, because it's only a bit of emotional here. I'd like your blessing, but if you say no, you shove it up your hole, I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm
going
to marry you anyway.
Yeah. So I think lads get very nervous about asking the father-in-law. Like, how would you feel if he's had to do it?
Your father-in-law, you've probably only ever spoke to him about like hurling and the weather before.
Some fellas have good relationships with their father-in-law.
Yeah. So I don't know, just it'll be grand. Just, you know, bring him just out for a few pints.
Be a man about.
And be like, just, you know, be like, Siobhan, I'm thinking about asking her to marry me. That's all you have to say. And your man will be like, oh, welcome to the family. And that's
any chance of a dowry.
Yeah.
And a couple of hundred thousand.
Yeah, no one was telling me about Kenyan dowries now, I tell you. 120 sheep, lad.
Whoa.
Okay.
Cows, no, maybe. Sheep.
Normally throwing a cow as well, yeah. just putting it out there.
Back to real life.
Do you want to know what the women actually want?
Oh, I want to know what women want, Mara.
This is what everyone wants to know.
Oh, yeah. My friend said, Ruth, when you're asking the question, don't get down on one knee when your girlfriend is naked.
Well, it depends what you're going to do when you're down there, I'd say, Mara.
Could be. Do remember that this story will be told for life, so put some thought into it. Have a plan for the remainder of the day or weekend so you can enjoy the moment. Do have a budget. Do ask the father's permission. Don't get sucked into social media and waiting to see how many likes you get. Switch off the phone and enjoy the moment. So another friend said... do consider what the girl wants, not what you want. Don't do it in front of people if she's shy. Do try to encourage her to get her nails done, because that's one of, yeah. She got engaged and that's one of her regrets, that her nails weren't done for the photos. And then another friend, Kathy, said, I'd say decide if you're going to tell people straight away or keep it to yourselves for a wee while, because once the cat's out of the bag, it's out, and you just start worrying about who you haven't told and trying to make sure that no one is left out. And my friend Danielle was said, don't do it alone and not in front of a crowd. Also, keep the receipt for the ring.
Oh!
Yeah, and then another friend finally said, Kathy said, avoid cliches like proposing under the Eiffel Tower. So, do something original. So, what do you think that now, lads?
What, woman, you wouldn't like to be proposed to beneath the Eiffel Tower?
No.
Jeez, you're a hard dealer. Huh? Yeah. Come on, get your nails done and we go to France.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping the receipt's a good one.
Yeah, to pick up on that. Expense. I don't see, like, 3 months' wages. I tell you, I won't be spending 3 months' wages. Fuck no.
Have you tried to get a mortgage in Ireland, lads?
Yeah. 3 months' wages, yeah, outrageous.
Are you marrying, like, ECB or someone? No?
I don't get it. Like, anyway, it's they'll probably fucking lose the ring at some point.
Yeah. The whole getting engaged, like, I don't wear rings on my finger, so I don't want an engagement ring, but I would like an engagement horse. You know, like.
fellas, this is another note if you're going dating Maura. Yeah. If you're thinking of an engagement ring, you're probably going to have to go for a thoroughbred.
Yeah. It's like, get down on one knee, like, with this horse, will you marry me? I'd be like, if I like the horse, job on.
Hang on there. Let's just say a lad is, like, earning 500 quid a week.
Mm-hmm. Right. 2 grand a month.
If you're getting married, let's hope you're earning that.
Six grand
on a wedding ring.
No, an engagement ring.
An engagement ring.
I know a fella, friend of ours down the GA club, who got married and got the wedding bands in Argos.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm a mechanic. Yeah. I'm not going to have a Dyson ring.
It's like the whole engagement ring came about, I think in the 1930s. It was an advertising campaign by jewellers. So, like, basically, before that,
genius.
Yeah, before that, you just asked somebody to marry you. Say, will you marry me? And she either said yes or no, or he asked, or the other way around. And then the jewelers put out this advertising campaign. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you sealed it with a ring or something to that effect?
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you have to buy two rings now: one for getting engaged and one for getting married.
Or four. Isn't there like a promise ring?
Is there?
Yeah.
Come on.
A promise ring is like, yeah, you promised to be with me, like. Before
and
this is kind of pre-engagement.
Push present now as well. And
that's surely an American thing,
and
is
then
it?
There's an eternity ring.
Okay.
You've heard of an eternity ring.
But I just thought that was something you give to a girl that you didn't really want to get married to, but she's annoying you. So you're like, oh, here's an eternity ring. And it means nothing.
Maybe they're the same thing, eternity and promise rings.
Mm.
Mm, they seem like an easy way out.
They're probably just really good marketing strategies by jewellers anyway.
Possibly so. Jewellers are the only ones cleaning up here, really.
They sound like something you can give out on a night out.
No way.
Got four promise rings in my pocket tonight.
Jesus, just broke a pencil in half.
You did it at the stress of that comment.
Yeah, definitely.
Planning the day is a nice thought. We've got a good day planned out, so she'll be in good form. You know what I mean? You need to improve your chances, lads. And then afterwards, what are you doing? But then, like, she might, you might be like, oh, I've planned for us to go horse riding, let's say.
Yeah. And she's like, well, like, I want to have sex.
Wow, that's not where my mind went for once. No, I mean, what if she's like, oh, I want to ring everyone I know.
Yeah.
I want to go home and show the mother.
A lot of it now is just kind of like, I'll ring me family and I'll just put it on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
It's handier.
I would say there's
everyone.
Probably an average time of a fella getting down on one knee and an Instagram post would be around 25 minutes, I would say.
Well, do you know what I think the best advice is?
Hmm.
Go ask her best friend, because chances are your other half and her best friend have had an in-depth conversation about what way she wants to propose, yeah. what way she wants the ring, how many stones, what carrot. And
fairy,
you know,
tale stuff.
Yeah. Stones, carrots, the whole lot. Like.
Yeah. Stones, carrots. Mara, I actually enjoyed that. Can people get in touch with us? Tell us, give us your actual engagement stories. Mm. How did you do it? Yeah. What was the crack? Any horror stories?
Yeah. I feel bad for a lad now who was ever told no. Like.
Yeah. Hey, lads, if you're out there, get in touch. Give us your horror stories or your real soft engagement stories, the whole lot, and we'll read them out next week.
Oh, don't send us nice ones.
Like, don't send us nice ones. Send us ones where you've been hurt. All right? We're all about hurt here this Christmas on the Two Johnnies podcast. All right, Mara, thank you. Really enjoyed that podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2 Johnnies Pod to spread the good word of the gospel, according to Johnny B, myself, and Maureen. Don't forget, tour tickets are on sale, www.twojohnnies.ie. Get them while they're hot. They'll be gone by Christmas. So the people in power tell us. Topic number 2, Johnny, chasing the dream, we're calling this. Dilemmas.
We had a woman on to us looking for a bit of advice. There's not much we can give advice on, but maybe this. She has a son, 14, wants to be a singer, losing interest in his school books and everything else. And she's wondering, you know.
What to do. I mean, it is a tough one. We've got different enough stances on this.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah.
I want, well, first of all, the first question you asked.
Is he any good? You know what I mean? No, genuinely. Like, then you see we've got different views from that. In that, at 14, I was probably cat. Like, so now I still am cat, but I'm like a better version of cat.
Yeah, but like at 14, there's probably virtuosos out there who, like, we heard Gary Barlow talking, and he said like when he was 14, he'd play the piano and people would clap.
Yeah, he was like the best. Like,
yeah, wow. But I'm wondering, then, let's take Snow Patrol. Huge band. You tell me that lad's 14. People are standing up and going, wow.
Not sure they were in Snow Patrol for 10 years before they got a hit. I actually watched them on the Late Show.
Yeah.
Just the one interview I seen.
Ed Sheeran, the 14. He's cat. There's footage out there.
It's tough. That's the thing. And as a parent, I think you have to be honest with your kid as well at that age, in that if they're not that good, you're going to have to be like, right, Jimmy, you're 14 and you want to be a singer, but you're not very good at singing. Maybe we'll put you into Billy Barry Kids or something and see, like, can you get any better or is this for you? Because, like, at 14, I wanted to be a soccer player. My mother was like, you've already done your knee. You know, at 14. Yeah, okay, you're okay at soccer, but I don't think you're going to be playing for Liverpool. Which was harsh, but probably honest. Didn't stop me still thinking I would be.
Until your leaving cert was over.
Until my leaving cert was over, yeah.
Miss, where do you put Liverpool on the CAO?
Yeah, you know, going into career guidance counselor saying like, what do you want to be? Yeah, I used to say to my English teacher, all right, like, she'd be like, what'll you be? And I was like, I don't know, I'll be something like, you know, probably be a star of centre. Like, and I was deluded in my own head and knew I wouldn't be, like, but, you know, it didn't stop me. I was trying to chat her up at the time. That's all.
My thing, if you've got a teenager, child, whatever, is to try and give them the tools. So when I was a young lad and I was always going on, oh, I want to be this and that, my parents made me get singing lessons. Mother was like, you're in a band, you're out in the shed making noise, you come back in home and you're hoarse. I'm not listening to this. Go get singing lessons. Oh, you want to be a guitar player? You think you're Kurt Cobain, do you? Go get guitar lessons. So they tried to make me do these things. They'd be like, a band would start in town and they'd be like, go follow them around for a day. See what they do. Go carry gear at their gigs and Learn about it. That's why I say your Billy Barry approach is good. That like,
yeah, there's something there. There's something in like, you know, saying to him, right, go into the school musical, and if you're like really good in the school musical, then maybe like, you know, maybe this is for you. Like, but there's no like.
But that's what I mean. Like, I bet Dizzy Rascal was cat in a school musical.
Yeah, yeah. There's people out there then who just kind of fall into like a lot of it.
Tupac never played Oliver Twist. Like.
That's probably true as well. Depends what he wants to be like. But like people are saying, I want to be a pop star at 14, and then like, you know, you're going to say to him, how are you going to be a pop star? Now, I'm a good man for like, you know, I can't say much really on this. I can't play any instruments, even though I'm supposed to, like, we're comedians.
Yeah, it'd be great if you would learn.
Like, I played a tin whistle in secondary school. So I done music in first year.
Yeah.
It was compulsory. You all had to do the subjects.
Really?
Yeah. And I done music in first year. And you used to have to play the tin whistle. And you'd have like a test then once a month in the tin whistle. And like, I knew the notes, but I wasn't that good. Because like, I got a bad note home in the journal from my teacher. And I had to get my mother to sign it. And the bad note said, Jonathan needs to practice tin whistle 10 times a night. Every night. And my mother signed it and said, don't you bring that tin whistle home to this house. I hate the noise of it. So I was never going to be in Clannad now or anything. That's for sure. No, I can see your point. Like, have you ever heard somebody like struggling to play the tin whistle?
Or the fiddle.
Yeah. Horrible noises. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I played the recorder in secondary school.
So my mother had a fair point in that.
So if you're a 14-year-old who wants to be a professional tin whistle player, think hard.
I was in the bedroom alright, like singing away and all that shit, like, you know, singing Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. My mother's favourite song. And one day she said, will you stop singing that song please? Like, so why? She said, because you're murdering it. I sound like kind of digging my mother out here, but I'm not. And it's just a bit of crack, like.
Ah, look, because if a child says to you, I'm going to go gung-ho.
This is the big thing, Johnny.
Yeah, so can we, just to pivot a little bit, we know people who have young kids in sport.
Mm.
They're 10 years of age, 12 years of age, they're like, you know, golf or virtuosos, like, you know, prodigies. Like Tiger Woods at 12. You know, he was the best 12-year-old in his town.
Yeah.
Mm.
He wasn't like picking it up there when he came out of County Minor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But those guys, I still want them to get a Leaving Cert and all.
Yeah, you see, you said to me in the car, we discussed this the other day, I said, you'd have to have a plan B. You know, you'd have to maybe go to college and study music or do something like that. And then you said, no, it has to be all or nothing. Gung-ho.
But for a lot of people, plan B gets in the way.
But how long do you gung-ho for? You see?
I don't know. I just know. I know, like, plan B got in the way for me.
Mm.
So I was in a band and then we broke up and then I was like, oh, sure, I'll, you know, go work in the family business. And I had the wedding band. And before you know it, then you're working 6 days a week. And luckily, you know, I didn't have kids or a mortgage. And that'd probably be,
yeah,
that would make things fairly hard.
That's the thing with gung-ho. Like, I'd be saying to this woman, let him do his Leaving Cert anyway, Christ. And see then what he wants to do. Maybe take a year after your Leaving Cert. Like, you know, you don't have bills, you don't have responsibilities that age. You're just fresh out of school. Maybe take a year then. Let him see, can he get in a band or do some open mics, test it that way and see how good he is. Like, as regards us, like, we went gung-ho because we'd no responsibilities, like.
Mm.
Do you know, we neither of us had mortgages, really. Yeah. Neither of us had, like, any major, you know, we don't have kids, we don't have that, and, like, we've nothing to.
I have a dog, right?
Yeah, but he needs a bit of minding, but you can just give him all the nuts in one day for 7 days and it'll be fine. But, you know, so, like, I came down to Johnny one day and said, I'm giving up the job. We're going to have a crack at this now.
Mm.
And Johnny said, lad, barely give up the job, I'd say. I said, look, it's now or never. I'm not, so.
Yeah, but then, we didn't know. I was like to you, right, if you're working 40 hours a week, and we started off doing the two Johnnies, if you have those extra 40 hours a week, what are you going to fill them with? Mm. What new things are you going to do that you weren't able to do because of the time constraints of your employment?
Mm.
And like, you had no real answer, because we didn't know what we were going to do next.
Yeah, but like, you see, what happened was I was constantly asking for time off and stuff like that. And it was getting to the point where it was like affecting my job.
Mm. So,
and then I got to the point where we were starting to have some success. And like, it just wasn't working to have success and still be working for, you know, minimum wage. So,
lads, you're not solving this poor woman's problem.
We're not really, are we? We're kind of just talking shite about ourselves. Solving her problem, what does she do? She gives him the tools to develop as a singer.
Yeah.
She keeps his feet in the ground and tells him genuinely how he's doing at the singing. You know what I mean? You've got a singing teacher, right?
Yeah.
You do grades.
Yeah.
Like, if he's a good singer, he's...
Yeah, but...
For me, I think you can be a success in life, right? Your Lebenszert. It's not all about academics. Like, as long as you're doing something you love, like...
So that was my other point. That if this person goes gung-ho and they're a class singer, right? If they don't make it, if they're not the next Pavarotti or Justin Timberlake, and they've no Lebenszert, if you're that good a singer, you'll surely earn a living doing something. But now you might end up lounge singing and hate your life.
Yeah, you see, there are the fine lines, like.
There's a lot of cover bands out there.
Yeah.
And the frontmen especially.
Dead inside.
Like, they think they're in the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
You know them a mile away.
Yeah.
Well, I was in a cover band, and I'll tell you what made our cover band so good. None of us wanted to be in a cover band. They're all proper musicians just playing tunes.
Yeah. It's a fair point, I think.
But he has to go for it, Johnny. If he doesn't go for it, he'll be miserable. Not miserable, but he'll be narking at him the rest of his life.
Yeah. There's the hardest thing to make in the success is there's one thing having the talent, but then there's also having the second thing is having the wherewithal to figure out how to get there and be able to ask honest questions of yourself and be good at networking and be good at what am I doing? How am I holding myself back here from getting where I want to be? Because nobody's going to tell you. Nobody's going to tell you how to.
Yeah, there's no formula. That's one thing we've learned. There's absolutely no formula. Like, you just have to go gung-ho and knock doors down for yourself. I'd be saying to this woman, keep him in school, keep him ticking, keep him interested in what he's doing. I mean, I hope he's going to be a superstar someday. I hope they're looking back on this, but the one thing my mother always said was, it's one in a million chance.
Yeah.
You know, and it really is like, it is kind of one in a million you're going to be that superstar. Like, people think, God, you came out of nowhere overnight. Like, we didn't, like, we've been 2 years at this. I've been murdering, butchering songs in my bedroom since... You know, as a teenager. So it doesn't happen overnight. Keep working at it. We're a bit different than this. I'd always say have a plan B. So, you know, whether he's a music teacher, then he's doing a bit of music on the side or something. I don't know.
I know a lot of musicians who want to be in bands. And they're music teachers now. And I look at them and I go, how are you teaching?
Maybe they weren't good enough.
But I'm saying, how are you teaching kids? Like, you're like... Maybe they weren't good enough.
There you go.
But did they really give it a go? I have massive respect for mates of mine. They were up in Dublin and we were all in bands, 18, 19, 20. We were all playing on the same shows together. Actually, Codeline used to often play with us back when they had a different name. And our other mates all quit their jobs, got a demo together, music videos, gigging the shit out of it. Got a itsy bitsy little record deal. Got a better one. They supported Newfound Glory on a big tour around England and all that. And then it didn't happen in the end.
At least they tried.
You could say, well, maybe they'd have been better off if they went to college. And
yeah. What are they doing now?
Mixed bag.
There you go.
Good and bad.
Lebenszert. What's he going to do? Lebenszert. Is this going to affect it? We've seen during the week the story that the girl from The Young Offenders is doing Dancing with the Stars. She's doing her Leaving Cert this year.
Yeah, she's an actress, yeah.
Yeah. So that's all right with you, Mara?
It is, yeah. Like, but you can always repeat your Leaving Cert.
Yeah, that's true.
It will probably affect her result.
Yeah. But if she wants to do, say, drama in college or that. Yeah. But, like, she's already working as an actress, so why would you need to go do a degree in it if you already have a job at it?
That's true. That's probably a fair fact. Like, the Leaving Cert is probably immaterial, in fairness to her, because she's already...
Like, Saoirse Ronan didn't go to college.
Yeah.
So. There's no guarantee like that. She had a great role. She's brilliant in Young Offenders. It is possible she'd never get another good role again. Like, you know, acting is such a lottery. Like, you get the right part, the right script.
I think, look, when you're going to be on your deathbed, are you going to regret, A, not giving it a go because you thought you had to go do your Leaving Cert, or B, giving it a massive go and trying your best, and if you failed, you failed, but at least you gave it your best shot.
Alright, so that's what we're saying to this woman. We're solving her dilemma with saying,
I'd like to see him get a leaving.
Okay.
But I have some mates who don't have leaving certs, and they're really successful people.
I would definitely say get a leaving cert.
But I'd be very keen that this young lad
gives it a proper go.
Gets singing lessons, and gets whatever else he wants to do, piano or guitar lessons, whatever, and that he gets exposed to it, that he goes, and mate of mine, highly successful producer, has no Lebenszert, but He rang venues and companies and all and was like, let me carry gear. Let me do this. Let me do that. Free of charge. And he got into places. He was an assistant. Got like an apprenticeship in sound engineering and climbed his way up through hard work and natural talent.
The best thing to take from this is probably, as Louis Walsh says, you gotta work hard.
You gotta work hard.
You gotta be prepared to work hard. So if this lad works hard, hey, who knows, lads? We could have unveiled a superstar here at Two Johnny's Podcast.
This is coming from the lad who said that playing County Minor affected his Leaving Cert.
Yeah, it did. But sure, I wasn't going to go on and play a professional County Minor, lad. Unfortunately, that's not a grade, you know?
Then why put so much into playing County Minor if you knew it was going to affect your results?
You didn't see the women I pulled that year, Johnny. We'll leave it there, so.
With the blonde highlights, Johnny Snazzy, and the white boots, lad.
Snazzy. All right, we're going to finish off the podcast as we always do with our yurts and dirts of the week. Johnny B, do you want to kick us off? I'll kick us off.
I've got a dirt.
You've got a dirt.
Oh, I've got a dirt.
Okay, give us your dirt.
What we talked about before we come in and air, Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat and I'm watching me mate stories, and as it goes from one story to the next, sometimes you get an ad. The ad I've been getting all week cuts straight from my friend's story to two lads shifting. Now, I don't mind, I don't care. I've got mates who are gay and they shift. I don't care, it's none of my business. But it keeps
Same ad.
And it's the same tune. It's like, band, dan. It's like just two lads, two blondie lads shifting. And it keeps coming up my newsfeed.
I've never laughed as much as I did when I'm sitting down in the office and then Johnny's like looking at Snapchat stories and then he just goes like, nearly almost falls off the chair and goes, the fuck is that?
I thought it was one of my mate's stories. Yeah. I was like, what's he doing?
That's your dirt of the week.
Yeah, but like, you reckon it's cookies. Like, what have I been looking at?
Yeah, it's cookies, lad. You've been watching some funky shit.
What have I been watching that makes Snapchat think I want to consistently see this ad for a gay male dating app? I don't want to see it.
As soon as we finish this this podcast, we're going looking at Johnny B's internet history. All right, my dirt of the week. So during rehearsals for the Whelan show the other day, we were like rehearsing away with the band. And then I could see in my eye line, it was pretty dark, but I could see Leo Morn from the Saw Doctors walking in. And I kind of got this nervous thing, and I was like, shit, I'm going to have to impress Leo now and stuff. Like, you know, I have to fucking act cool now and sing well. And then like, I went to like stand on the bottom of the mic stand and pulled the mic in close to me. Stood on the bottom of the mic stand, and the mic just popped forward at around 100 mile an hour and burst me into the top lip. I had a massive fat lip for the whole gig. And like, even that night, I was like, is it bad? And the boys, no, you can't notice. Then I pulled up my lip, and it was just completely purple, properly burst open. Like, so don't try and act cool in front of Leo from the Saw Doctors. It's my dirt of the week. Slap of a Sennheiser. Big dirty, heavy Sennheiser mic straight into the lip. Yeah, not cool.
That is because Smacks likes mic stands that are dead straight.
Yeah.
So the base of them is round.
Yeah.
Whereas I use ones with an arm on them. So the base of them is like got three legs.
Mm. Yeah, so the round one looks cool. Yeah. And you can drag it around like fucking Freddie Mercury job. But yeah, when you stand on it sometimes it was like a rake. You know, where you stand the rake, just bang, straight. This, you know, just pop in the lip. And then I was like, yeah. Hi, when Leo. I play for the blood, like, streaming down my chin. Yeah, so I went over, shook his hand. All was good. All was good. Johnny, your yurt of the week.
Quickly, one more. We forgot to thank the band on stage.
Yeah.
We were so excited.
Mm-hmm.
My yurt of the week is kind of what you're talking about. Lads coming home for Christmas.
Oh, class. Yeah.
We started meeting them today already.
Yeah, man. They're coming in, streaming in, hot and fast.
Streaming in.
Off the tarmac at Dublin Airport.
Full of stories. Stories coming out their ear. Lads home. I'm going to go mining for stories.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a week off school and just go harvesting stories.
That's a pretty good yurt. My yurt of the week is Haribo, right? Do you know the fun gums? Like?
The sweets.
The sweets, yeah. The little jellies. So there's ones available now and it's just the toothbrushes and mushrooms. Do you know them sweets?
What are your favourite ones today?
Yeah, toothbrush and mushrooms are my favourite. So there's... They're available now, just toothbrushes and mushrooms. Fun gums. Haribo, fair play to you. Obviously, Whelan's is a yurt. Now, I have two recommendations, right? This week's part of my yurt. You know, I like the old Netflix recommendation.
Yeah.
So there's a new one that went up the other day. It's called Sunderland Till I Die. So it's about Sunderland, the soccer club, about their relegation from the Championship. So they went straight from the Premier League to Championship, to League One.
Did they?
Yeah, two relegations in a row. So this follows their Championship season, all the ins and outs in the boardroom and all the fans going mental. And it's done by a production company in Sunderland who are actually Sunderland fans.
Mm.
And it's really good. And the opening song is a song called Shipyards by The Lost Poets.
Oh yeah.
And it is an absolutely unbelievable song. So that makes it. But the documentary is obviously good as well. And I'm going to recommend an album this week.
What?
Yeah, Christy Moore, Live at the Point. Mm. We've been listening to it all week. When it comes to live album, lads, there's no better out there. You know, unbelievable, lads. You don't want to miss it. So Christy Moore, Live at the Point, that's my album. And Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix. But particularly the opening song, check that out as well.
Well, it seems you've given Netflix recommendations. Kind of left field one, there's a documentary made about the time Johnny Cash went to the White House and performed for Richard Nixon in the height of the Vietnam War protests. Very interesting. Nowadays, it's all about, like, you know, your perception on social media and all that. And Johnny Cash had the 70s version of that, or whatever. He had, like, a weekly TV show.
Okay.
So every comment he made, every song he chose to sing, people were like, ooh, what way is he leaning on this Vietnam debate and all that? And even getting invited to
what's
the
White House.
When Cash met Tricky Dick?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
You type Johnny Cash into Netflix again.
Class. Check that out. All right, that's deadly. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. There's no cover this week.
Because I'm dying.
Yeah, we're both sick. Genuinely. We'll be back next week with the covers. Look, listen to that.
I've got consumption.
Right, we'll be back next week, same time, same channel. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll be back next week. Go on, good luck. Enjoy the festivities.
To Johnny's podcast. To Johnny's recording a podcast.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.